Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the poisoned needle right after this. You know, the genocidal policy of Global 2000 and this New World Order are the greatest threats to our lives, our liberties, and our property since Noah's flood. And that's not just my opinion. Jesus of Nazareth held that same view when he said in Matthew 24, verse 22, that except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved alive. Now, there are 64 of these life-threatening problems described in Scripture detailing this New World Order and their Global 2000 agenda. The Scripture teaches preparation for this great tribulation, not just apathy and indifference. That's why I contend that it's time that you and I wise up and start listening more to the God of Israel and stop following after all these crazy scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians. And let us prepare to live through and survive this Global 2000 New World Order nightmare. Now, to do just that, why don't you call or write for our free general law CD package. Remember, that CD package is the place to start. It doesn't cost you anything. This may not be for you, and if it isn't, well, that's fine. Let's play. But if it is, then it's free of charge, and you can get a copy by calling us direct at 417-273-4967. Now, again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can download that free general law CD package right there in the privacy of your own home. I don't have to send it to you in a plain brown envelope. That's georgegordon.org. That's our webpage. And then click on to the archives page, and you can download it right there. That's georgegordon.org, and then go to the archives page. We are reviewing a book here called The Poison Needle. It deals with vaccinations. And of course, there's a small controversy in this country, not a big one. 88% of people in this country believe in vaccination, and God love them, stick with the program. 12% of us don't. I'm one of those. And of that 12% that don't, they're pretty adamant about, no, don't stick me with that needle. And we run into some problems with this, no, don't stick me with the needle, because as time progresses along, there are more and more restrictive laws that are aimed at vaccinating more and more of us. The 88% that are convinced that vaccinations work and it's the only solution to death, destruction, and disease want to make sure that the 12% of us that are just as convinced that the 88% are incorrect or just plain wrong, and that they want to vaccinate us to protect us from ourselves. And I pointed out to you last time that if all of these 88% that are vaccinated, well, then they've got nothing to worry about, because the 12% of us that aren't vaccinated cannot infect them with these diseases because they are protected. Here's the other bright spot. They cannot give us any diseases because they're all vaccinated. Since they're vaccinated, they can't give us any diseases. So they're not a threat to us, and we're not a threat to them. The only way that we can get diseased is to be exposed to ourselves. That's the 12% of us that aren't vaccinated. We can spread disease among ourselves, which is no threat to them. What the hell do they care about our incompetence and our foolishness? Now, that's where I'm at. I may be incompetent, I may be foolish, but I'm no threat to the guy that's vaccinated, and he's no threat to me. The only guy that could possibly threaten me would be you. You, the guy that's unvaccinated. I'm not trying to get you to get vaccinated. I don't need it. I have an immune system. Now, there's a theory that this vaccination process is based upon, and it's called the germ theory. And in the Bible, the germ theory was explained, well, not exactly explained, but at least it was announced by Moses. That's right, Moses. And he told us that when you have somebody that's sick, he has to wear a mask, he has to wear a covering over his mouth and nose. Now, we didn't know anything about germs back in Moses' day, but we do today. So we now know that the spread of these germs can cause disease. There's a second factor. Moses also instructed us to quarantine people. That's right, physically separate them from the congregation. And down in Cuba, where they physically segregate people that have HIV/AIDS, they have, because they practice quarantine, the lowest incidence of AIDS of any country in the world. All right, so now we're learning a little something. Quarantine and the germ theory. Now, the doctors come along and they say, okay, we got these germs, and these germs cause this disease. Therefore, if we vaccinate you, we can kill these germs, and then you won't get sick. Or is there something more to the story? All right, listen up. This false germ theory of disease, upon which vaccination is based, has been the blind leader of the blind, and it has dragged the medical system and the impressionable public deeper into this morass of confusion and disease. This germ theory is discussed at length in the chapter titled On Friendly Terms with Germs in Book 2. However, our present concern in this chapter is merely to point out the instability of the nebulous theory of antibodies, which is the main prop that holds up the dead horse of vaccination. In Volume 6 of The Hygienic System, Dr. Herbert M. Shelton brings into sharper focus this tricky subject of antibodies, these elusive little nothings that have fooled the people and served the uses of the doctors but have vanished into theory when subjected to the clear light of scientific investigation. So let me pause here and make an observation. We have theories, and then we have knowledge. When we're talking about theory, we're talking about philosophy. We believe that, we think it may well be, and it could. When we're talking about science, we're talking about knowledge. We're talking about, we did this, we saw this, we can see this, we can duplicate this. And what happens in evolution is that they mix science, that is, truth, with error, and then lead us into more error. Truth plus truth equals truth. Error plus error equals error. And truth plus error equals error. Now, it is true that there are germs out there, but it isn't necessarily true that those germs are causing disease. You see, when Moses came down off the mountain, he came down with 10 commandments and 749 statutes, judgments, and judgments that he put into the Ark of the Covenant. There isn't any mention in here of vaccines at all in those laws. Vaccination and vaccines aren't there. The germ theory is there. The sequestration of sick people is there. But we don't have vaccines and we don't have vaccination. But what we have is an immune system. Now, the immune system, we don't really know what that is. It's kind of like nature. You know, we use words like, well, nature. Well, what is nature? What we're really trying to do is avoid using the word God. The Creator created germs. He created disease. He created plagues. These plagues like bubonic plague, polio. Everything was created in the 6 days of creation. Now, he also gave us laws, and he told us, don't eat this and don't eat that, but do eat this and do eat that. Disease comes in two forms. It's either poison or starvation. If you don't get the right foods, you starve and you get disease. Now, we know that we have germs associated with these diseases. Do these germs cause the disease, or are these germs associated with the disease and spread the disease to other weak people whose immune systems are insufficient or don't work properly? Now, what is your immune system? Nobody seems to know. It's kind of like nature. If I were to say to somebody, well, bring out 5 gallons of immune system over here so we can analyze it. Well, we don't exactly know what that is. We do know that your immune system is bound up in your thyroid, appendix, tonsils, lymph system, and adenoids. We know that you've got organs in your body that when you take them out, it impairs your ability to fight disease. We know that if you have a strong immune system, you won't get sick. You can walk into a room with somebody that's got a disease like the flu, cough and sneeze all over 100 people, and a bunch of them will get the flu, transmitted by the guy that came in with the flu and spread it with his virus. But you're not going to get everybody in there sick. Now, how come everybody's exposed, but everybody doesn't get sick? It's because their immune systems are working. And the people that get sick, it's because their immune system isn't working, or it isn't working to a level that would ward off the disease. The doctor comes in and says, see, he was spreading these viruses and germs, therefore we need to kill these viruses and germs. And if we could do that, what the hell's going on with our brains? Boys and girls, germs are everywhere. I told a story one time about the buzzard. It's in one of my short stories, in story time. And I said, you know, you go out here and you kill off all the wolves, and sure enough, your cows won't die from wolf attack. And you kill off all the coyotes, it's sure that they were not going to die from a coyote attack. And if you kill off all the buzzards, they're not going to die from buzzard attacks. But after you've killed all the coyotes, all the buzzards, and all of the wolves, and the cow dies from poisoning, the bacteria come in and eat it up. So bacteria, germs, are a part and parcel with the degenerative process that's built into life in the systems around us, the biology, the environment. And just like buzzards, coyotes, and wolves are there to dispose of the waste, germs are there to dispose of the waste. But it's true, they're connected with the spreading of disease. We can see that when we look in the scripture and we find that we have to wear a mask over our mouths and noses, and we have to quarantine people who are sick. But now, to jump to the next conclusion that we can prevent disease by vaccination makes a lot of profit for the pharmaceutical companies, makes a lot of profit for the doctors, but it doesn't prevent disease. Now, Dr. Shelton writes this part in his book. He says, the whole of the modern medical practice of vaccine, serum, and antitoxin therapy is based upon the supposition that your body manufactures substances called antitoxins, antibodies, or antigens, which are capable of meeting and destroying toxins that get into your body. The idea seems to be sound, although it is possible that the work of destroying such toxins is that of the detoxification carried on by the liver, the lymph glands, or your other immune system organs. Antitoxins, antibodies, antigens, etc. have never been isolated. They have only been theorized, assumed, and hypothesized, while the practice based upon their assumed existence has been both a failure and a disaster. However, this may not be due to their non-existence. If they exist, it is possible to separate them from the proteins of the animal's blood in making vaccines. And these proteins, when injected directly into the blood of another animal or human being, are very poisonous. Besides this, there is no evidence that these antitoxins of one species can be made use of by another species. And where vaccines are employed, it constitutes the introduction of actual disease matter into the blood, and the life is in the blood, and that is the supposed causative germs or some product of the disease is introduced into the body. The consequences are often terrible. Real benefits are never observed. All right, now let's tuck this one away in our hearts. God has told us the life is in the blood, and he's told us not to eat blood. Now, boys and girls, these vaccines are being inoculated or injected into your bloodstream. And many times these vaccines are made up of unclean, that is, they're made up of snake venom and monkey pus. And we're told not to eat blood. Many of these vaccines are made up of blood. Now, we're doing just exactly, by using these vaccines, what our Creator told us not to do. You know, we're acting like a bunch of witch doctors out here, or Egyptian witch doctors, or medicine men, and telling you to eat dung, or blood, or poisons, and snake this, and snake that, and turkey this, and turtle that, or something else. Come on, let's wake up and smell the coffee. There is real science here. Let's start looking at real science. We have a revelation from our Creator. He says, the life is in the blood. Don't eat blood. All right, let's take him at his word. We have an immune system. We don't know what it is. We can't define it. It's like gravity. You know, what is the world? What holds the world in place? Well, gravity. Well, what in the hell is gravity? Nobody knows. You can't define it. You can't tell me. Well, what is immune system? Well, it's the thing that keeps you from getting sick or cures you or heals you when you get sick. Okay, but what is it? Go get me a 5-gallon bucket of immune system and bring it in here so we can get into it and squish it around in our fingers. Well, I don't know where to go get 5 gallons of immune system. Yeah, that's our problem. Now, we know it's there. It's kind of like atoms. You know, we know it's there, but can you go actually get it? Do you really know what it is or what it does? You know, we modern men give ourselves credit for being a lot smarter than we really are, knowing a whole lot more than we really do. Now, we've been out here vaccinating people for 100 years, and we're sicker and sicker. I'm not here to tell you that the vaccine caused you to get sicker and sicker. I'm just here to tell you the vaccine didn't keep you from getting sick. That's where the bottom line is. Now, there is a modality that can keep us from getting sick, and God lays it out in 19 health laws in the Bible. There's 19 of these health laws. Vaccination isn't one of them. Now, you'd think if God, you know, wanted you to be vaccinated, that's what my old granny said. And she said, if God would have intended for you to be vaccinated, he would have made you with a needle sticking out of your arm. So my old granny wasn't in favor of this vaccination thing at all. Now, she's one of them old ladies, you know. She wasn't very modern and up to date. She's born in 1882. But she was smart enough to take a look around her and say, well, you know, if this is so good, then it ought to produce some results, and I ain't getting any results, and I'm not going to do it. Now, if this hypothesis, I'm reading on here, that the body manufactures antitoxins and antibodies, if that is correct, that's a hypothesis. That's a theory. That's a philosophy. We think. And what's going wrong here in medicine? What's going wrong here in science? Science is an absolute body of knowledge that you can duplicate. Now, a hypothesis or a theory is something that we believe, and if it's true, we could expect this result. But it isn't something that's been documented, demonstrated, or put into the knowledge category of science. And so that's our problem with creation. You know, we take a look at creation versus evolution, and this evolution guy comes along and says, well, I'm working with science. He's lying to you. He's working with philosophy. And the doctor comes along to you, and he says, well, I'm working with science. No, he isn't. He's lying to you. He's working with philosophy. Now, I'm not opposed to what the doctor knows. I'm just opposed to what the doctor thinks he knows. Well, there's a hell of a big difference here between what the doctor thinks he knows and what he actually knows. So when we're talking about this hypothesis of antibodies, if it's correct, it still remains to be proven that the body ever manufactures these in any form or excess other than the exact need for them. It cannot be shown, for instance, that free antitoxin antibodies are suspended in the blood serum and can therefore be collected and transferred to another animal in sufficient quantities to be of any use to that receiving animal. So in keeping with a general law of life, it is very probable that the body does manufacture an excess of antibodies, if that's the word to use. But it cannot be shown that it retains these antibodies after the need for them has ceased. On the contrary, In keeping with another general law of life, it's very probable that the antibody, or the body begins to get rid of the antibody, the very instance the need for them ceases. If they exist, they are chemical substances produced to meet an emergency and will be cast out as soon as the emergency ceases to exist. Well, now we're getting down to your immune system. Well, what makes your immune system work? Well, it's your thyroid and your appendix and your tonsils. Exactly what are these organs doing? Well, we don't know. They must be making antibodies. Well, have you got 5 gallons of antibodies? Well, no. Now, it's true that your immune system's doing something here, but we don't know what the hell it's doing. We can see that gravity is doing something out here, but we can't go get 5 gallons of gravity. That's what our problem is. And now we're out here trying to degrade God and the scripture. We don't believe him for a minute. Then we're going to go off here with our hypotheses and our theories about antibodies, and then we're going to create these vaccines. Well, that's very profitable, you know. So when the pharmaceutical company comes along and says, hey, listen, you got polio, and that's really bad, and we need to do something for you, so we're going to make this serum. That's what you want to hear. They're just telling you what any salesman would tell any customer that walks onto the car lot. He's going to tell you what you want to hear. I've got a cure. I've got a prevention. That's what you want to hear. And you'll buy it. Now, if you go in and you get shot up with this serum and you, let's just try one out for a second here. Let's suppose that we shoot you up with a polio vaccine and we say to you, this will keep you from getting polio. And we shoot you up, and a year later I say, well, how do you feel? I feel great. Did you get polio? No, I didn't get polio. I got my polio vaccine. And is that why you didn't get polio? Absolutely. I believe it. So I paid the $25. I come back the second year and I say, well, did you get polio? No, of course not. I got my polio vaccine 2 years ago. That's why I got shot up. 5 years, 10 years, 20 years goes by, and I say, hey, did that polio vaccine work? You're damn right it worked. That's why I didn't get polio for the last 5, 10, or 15 years. Okay. So you live your life, and you go through it. One day you come down with polio, and I come over, and I say, Bob, what's wrong with you? Well, I got polio. And I say, well, Bob, 15, 20 years ago, didn't you get a vaccine for polio? Well, it wore off. I should have got a booster shot. I didn't do that. It was kind of an oversight on my part. And I say, well, are you sick? You say, well, by God, good thing I got my shot, because if I hadn't got my shot, can you imagine how sick I would be if I hadn't been inoculated the first time? Well, now, boys and girls, not only did this vaccine fail to protect you from the polio, your excuse is that, well, I should have got a booster shot. That's what they keep telling us, you know. Now, a little later on here in the book, we're going to take a look at some statistics, and we find out that people who get measles today almost always have been vaccinated. So not only didn't the vaccine prevent them from getting the measles, in fact, it gave them the measles. So I just wanted to point that out. I'm not telling you that you shouldn't get your measles shot. Okay? If you believe that this shot is gonna protect you from measles, that's fine. But it hasn't been shown to do that. Now, we believe it does, and we're being told that it does. I mean, that's kind of like your government saying, the recession is over, the stimulus program worked. Well, sure, there's still 10 million people out of work, but, you know, give it time. Okay. The unemployment rate in the United States is 28%. 28%. I just got some new numbers on my desk right now. I'm not here to argue with you. I'm just here to give you a report and to suggest to you that, well, maybe not everything that you heard is 100% true. Now, here's what our problem is. The doctors are not lying to you 100% of the time. They're telling you the damn truth a lot of the time. And they're not lying to you all the time. They're telling you the truth a lot of the time. And they're lying to you some of the time, and they're mixing the two together. And then when we get to the bottom line over here, we find out that truth plus error equals error, in the same way that error plus error equals error. Now, I haven't gotten any polio vaccine. I'm an old man. I'm 70 years old. I lived right through the polio epidemic of the 1930s, 40s, and 50s, but I didn't get polio. And I did not get a vaccine. Now, that does not mean that because I didn't get the vaccine is the reason that I didn't get polio. But the polio shot did not protect me from polio. I didn't need the shot. This is evidence by the fact I never got one. So there's an old adage that says, well, we vaccinated 95% of the people and only 2% of the people got measles. Therefore, 95% of the people were protected from measles because we vaccinated them. No, it isn't. That's an assumption. That's assuming facts, not an evidence. And we're never going to get the evidence. Because, you see, the truth of the matter is, if you didn't vaccinate 100% of the people, only 2% of them were going to get the measles anyway. Now, that's not quite true when we're talking about these childhood diseases, because evidently these childhood diseases are a part and parcel with your immune system. Because I got all the childhood diseases. I got measles and mumps and whooping cough and all. I don't know how many there are, but I got them all. I think I did. I hope I did. And that gives you lifelong immunity. And evidently, your immune system is triggered by these fairly innocuous diseases like measles, mumps, and whooping cough, and so on. Now, some people do die from the measles. If you are eating pork and shellfish and you've got a sick, weak body and you get the measles, you may die from it. Then the doctor comes along and says, see, you'll die from the measles, so we need to vaccinate you from the measles, or for the measles. He does. He gets all the people over here, lines them up, and shoots them up. And hell, there was only a handful of people going to die anyway. And by the way, that handful of people are still dying today, even with these vaccines. And so they can't show that they've materially done anything, but they take credit for it. Now, here's what happens with the flu. Every year here in the United States, they tell us, and I assume they're telling us the truth. They say 36,000 people a year die from the flu, therefore you need to get a flu shot. So people by the millions go out and get a flu shot, and sure enough, every year 36,000 people die from the flu. See? Now, that number has been holding pretty steady, you know, for quite a long time now, quite a few years. And typically, when people get a flu shot, they don't get sick and they don't get the flu. Well, if your immune system is up and running and it's functioning like it should be, and we give you a flu shot, you will not get the flu and you won't get sick because your immune system wards it off. Whatever this immune system is, I don't know what the hell it is, any more than I know what gravity is. But whatever this immune system is, it wards it off. And we know that because when somebody walks into a room and they cough and sneeze and hack and whack and they spread their germs around, some people get sick. All the people with a weak immune system get sick. The people with a strong immune system don't. Now, do the people with a weak immune system need a vaccination? Well, almost every year, when people who are in rest homes, etc., they get their flu shots, they get the flu. They get the shot and they get the flu. And then their excuse is, well, can you imagine how sick I'd be if I hadn't got my flu shot? Now, God tells us to wear a mask over our lips so that we're not spreading this around. The guy who's hacking and whacking and has the flu should quarantine himself and put a mask over his face so that he doesn't infect those whose immune systems are weak. Because, son, if your immune system's weak, the only thing that can cure your body of the disease is your immune system. And the only thing that can protect you from getting the disease is your immune system. The shot isn't going to protect you from it. It's going to give it to you if you're weak, and if you're strong, it isn't going to make any difference. So if you're strong and your immune system's working, you don't need the shot. And if you're weak, the last thing you want is to be introduced to the disease. You want to be quarantined from it. But that's not what we're doing. Hey, I got to give you a reminder here, boys and girls, that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries daily over the internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the law school and the Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from a scriptural perspective. Now that's 8 schools in all. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives, and all of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Then click onto our archives page, and then you can download it right there off that archives page, georgegordon.org. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. In the Law Hour, an editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements, these recommendations that we give, that doesn't mean that the authors or publications of the publications that we're endorsing are necessarily going to reciprocate. Now, you should keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour may be political. They could be hostile. They can be religious, economic, sectarian. They're racial sometimes. They can be ethnic. But they're all partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review either. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we are reviewing the book, The Poisoned Needle, by Eleanor McBean. That's Eleanor, E-L-E-A-N-O-R, M-C-B-E-A-N, 1974 edition. It's put out by the Health Research, that's all it says, Health Research, Mokulumi, by God, Mokulumi Hills, California. Let me spell that one for you. That's MOKELUMNE, Hill, California, 95245. It's called Health Research Post Office Box 70. I actually got an address in it, 70. Mokelumne, MOKELUMNE, Hill, California, 95245. Remember, this book now is put out in 1974. Your chances of finding this is going to be slim, and then probably zero. Go to a health food store and tell them what you're looking for. The Poison Needle by Eleanor McAbeen. See if they've got anything like that. Or you can check with your used bookstore. Now, remember, your used bookstore will have something like this, and it'll be online. All you need is the name of the book and the author. And if there's any of them out there, they'll find them. They'll find them online at some bookstore somewhere in the world. I think there's 450,000 bookstores worldwide hooked into the system. Now, going on here, the renowned Dr. Anton Bekamp, one of the world's foremost scientists and bacteriologists, observed that the microorganisms that are ordinarily called germs develop out of decaying cells that they themselves help to build and take part in the decomposition of these ever-changing life substances, and they help to form it into material usable again by nature. So when germs are found within a sick body, it is not that they entered from outside and caused the disease. It is because they developed from the decaying cells within the body, and they have an important part to play in helping to handle the waste and the destruction that's brought about by serums, drugs, and other poisons forced upon the body from outside. Perhaps our modern bacteriologists have seen this activity of the mycozymas, that's spelled mycorozymas, and jumped to the conclusion that they are antibodies fighting disease, and that they, the doctors, must inject more of these antibodies into the body by way of vaccine. Now, anyone with common sense and reasoning can see that this would only interfere and disrupt the well-organized efforts of nature, the well-organized efforts of your immune system created by God. This is the reason why vaccination has taken such a heavy toll of lives and has produced such widespread disease. Nature, God, makes no mistakes and violates no laws. She is a he, and God is uniformly governed by fixed principles, and all her, God's, actions harmonize with the laws that govern these actions. This is cited from the Hygienic System, page 48, by Sheldon. I want you to notice that in these books, nobody wants to talk about God. They're ashamed of him. So they want to use terms like nature and she, and nature is a female. What in the hell is nature? Come on, kids, wake up here. What do you mean, she? You mean to tell me nature? Nature? Is a female rather than a male? How did we know that? Has anybody ever seen any nature? How much nature have you brought into the laboratory, and how did you tell whether it was male or female? I don't know. You know, these people write books. I'm just a reporter. I'm just here asking the questions. Now, the best, indeed, the only method of promoting individual and public health is to teach people the laws of nature. Why don't we teach these people the laws of God, the 19 health laws of the Bible, and thus teach them how to preserve their health? Immunization programs are futile, and they are based upon the delusion that the law of cause and effect may be annulled. Vaccines and serums are employed as substitutes for correct living, and they are intended to supplant obedience to the laws of life. I'd like to interject that and call it the laws of God, 19 of them. Such programs are slaps in the face of law and order. Belief in immunization is a form of delusional insanity. Principles of Natural Healing, Shelton, page 478. All right, now that's a medical doctor there, boys and girls. You know, he's in the laboratory with his white smock on, you know, and he's pouring these liquids and these serums from beaker to beaker, and he's got his little Bunsen burner over here boiling up his witch's brew. And he comes along and he says, you know, we're suffering from delusional insanity if we think that these vaccines are going to cure us or they're going to keep us from getting sick. Now, test me. Next year, when somebody gets the flu, you ask them, did you get your flu shot? And if the guy says, no, I didn't, then you can say, see, that's why you got the flu, because you didn't get your flu shot. It isn't caused by your weak immune system and your bad health, or your bad living actions, you know, the white bread that you eat and the fat and the blood and pig and stuff. Now, if the guy says, no, I didn't get the flu at all, then you can say, well, boy, were you lucky. You know, you were just walking around and you didn't breathe in one of those nasty germs that's everywhere in the air. Or if the guy, he has his flu shot and he gets the flu, you can say to him, Bob, good thing you got your flu shot. You know, you probably would have died if you hadn't at least had your flu shot. And all three of those cases over there don't have anything to do with vaccines. Nothing. How do you like that? Not a scintilla of the vaccine ever got into the game here. Now, vaccines and vaccination lowers your resistance, and it invites disease. In fact, these vaccines will actually cause your immune system to get weaker and weaker. And we see that when we start vaccinating little babies at age 2, and then they come down, you know, with this crib death, sudden infant death syndrome, or some other syndrome. Over in Japan, they actually tested this out, so we got a little body of knowledge here that we can work off of. You know, they were having crib death over there, and then they got another disease here. I can't quite think of the name of it. I'm trying to come up with it. It's this syndrome that you get when kids, you know, their children, you know, they're rocking back and forth. You know what I'm talking about. I just can't put a label on it. So anyway, the Japanese said, look, we're not going to vaccinate our children over here until they're 2 years old. So they dropped that from age 2 months to 2 years. And the sudden infant death syndrome dropped by 50%. So did this other syndrome. 50%. Now, that tells you a little something. See, when you're 2 months old, your immune system isn't functioning very well yet. When you're born, your baby doesn't have immune system. This is why mother's milk is so important, because your mother's milk has natural immunity. It's got something in it. We don't know quite what it is. Mother's milk, that is the natural milk from a female, has 106 thingies in it. We can identify about 90 of the thingies that's in breast milk, but there's about 16 thingies. We ain't quite sure what they are. We haven't come up with names for them yet. We can see they're there, but we don't know what they are. We don't know what they do. But we do know this, that breastfed babies are in better health than bottle-fed babies. And we do know from experiments that if you vaccinate children at 2 months, they come down with more of these symptoms and die more readily than the babies that are vaccinated at 2 years. All right, so tuck that one away in your heart. If you would nurse your baby, give him those natural antibodies or whatever these are. I mean, you can call them antibodies if you want to. You can call it, you can just antigens or thingies. You know, I don't know what they are. Neither does anybody else. But they're hanging labels on them. They're trying to be smarter than they really are. And they've got theories and they've got hypotheses. And, you know, okay. I mean, your idea is just as good as mine or anybody else's, but that doesn't make it true. Now, what we do know from the Japanese, now this you can take to the bank. If you vaccinate your baby at 2 months to 2 years, he's 50% more likely to come down with one of these crib deaths or some one of these syndromes. If you don't vaccinate this kid at all until he's 2 years old, you'll have 50% less chance of this kid coming down with a sudden death or a syndrome. Now that you can take to the bank. Why? Well, we don't know. We can observe it. We're not quite sure why. Dr. J.W. Hodge had considerable experience with vaccination before he denounced it, and then wrote a book on his collected data. And in his book called The Vaccine Superstition on page 41, he said, after a thorough investigation of the most authentic records and facts in harmony with the physician's daily observations and experiences, the conclusion is drawn that instead of protecting its subjects from contagion of smallpox, smallpox vaccination actually renders them more susceptible to it. Vaccination is the implantation of disease. That is its admitted purpose. Health is the ideal state to be sought, not disease. Health is the exact opposite of disease. Every pathogenic disturbance in the infected organism wastes and lowers the vital powers of life, and thus diminishes its natural resisting capacity. This fact is well known, and so universally conceded that it seems superfluous to cite authorities. Nevertheless, I'll mention one. The International Textbook of Surgery, Volume 1, page 263, is authority for the following statement. That is, quote, persons weakened by disease or worn out by excessive labor yield more readily to infection than do healthy individuals. Now, if this is true, it explains why in various epidemics, smallpox always attacks the vaccinated people first, and why these diseases continue to infest the civilized world while its allied, unvaccinated filth diseases have disappeared before the advance of civilization through the good offices of sanitation, hygiene, and improved nutrition. Now, boys and girls, in the Bible, God tells us to keep clean. In fact, the Puritans used to say cleanliness is next to godliness. Well, that's certainly true. And people who do not have good body hygiene get sick. They get things, you know, like lice and scabies and little critters, and they get, you know, various and sundry diseases. Now, disease. A disease is simply, I don't feel good. I'm ill at ease. Disease simply means I'm ill at ease. I don't feel good. Well, okay, that's a symptom. Symptoms are what? Well, they're disease. Well, what's a disease? It's a symptom. Well, what's a symptom? Well, it's a disease. And a disease means I don't feel good. I mean, come on, let's wake up here. Good health is the absence of disease. Good health means I feel good. So if your body is strong and you feel very energetic and you want to climb to the top of the mountain today, then you're in good health. Now, if you're a little under the weather and you're peaked and you don't feel good and you're tired and no, I don't feel like walking to the top of the mountain, well, then, you know, you're not exactly sick, but you're not exactly in good health. Then the third stage is, oh, my God, I'm dying. I'm in pain. I'm in agony. I can't get out of bed. All right, now, what are your symptoms? Well, I've got a stuffy nose. I'm sneezing and coughing, and I can't breathe very well, and I'm achy all over. And we say, oh, well, you've got the flu. What in the hell is the flu? Well, it's a disease. And what is this disease? Well, I don't feel good. Well, hell, that doesn't tell us anything. And so somebody says, well, what we need is a flu shot. Oh, what a crock of baloney. You have a weak immune system. Whatever immune system is, it's weak. Now, what made it weak? Bad nutrition or some kind of poison. Now, you know, we could poison you. That'd make you sick. That'd make you feel bad. That'd give you a runny nose and stop it up and sneezing and coughing and hacking, and it could even kill you. Now, if we want to change that, then we need to feed you well. Now, God tells you what to eat and what not to eat. He says, don't eat blood, don't eat fat, don't eat pig. He says, eat a little cow, eat a little chicken, eat a little turkey. Eat, you know, there's some meats out there you can eat. And then when you eat them, don't eat the blood and don't eat the fat. And so we go out here and we create the Jimmy Dean Pure Pork Sausage Company. We eat pig, number one. We eat fat, number two. And then we eat blood sausage, number three. And then we wonder why we don't feel good. All right. Well, if that's what you want to do, get after it. Now, summarizing the case against vaccination goes something like this. Dr. Hodge continues. He says, after a careful consideration of the history of vaccination gleaned from an impartial and comprehensive study of vital statistics and pertinent data from every reliable source, and after an experience derived from having vaccinated 3,000 subjects, I'm firmly convinced that vaccination cannot be shown to have any logical relation to the diminution of cases of smallpox. And now let me pause right there. This guy vaccinated 3,000 people for smallpox. And he comes back with a conclusion. He says, I can't see that there's any evidence that after I vaccinated these 3,000 people that the vaccination prevented the disease. Now let's go back and think this through now for another minute. In the case of my child, my boy Ted, going to the school, see, they can vaccinate these 41 students. And at the end of the year, they could come back and say, if my kid came down with the measles, they'd say, see, if your kid had got the shot for the measles, he wouldn't have got sick because, see, we got 41 kids here, they didn't get the measles, and they've all been vaccinated. That doesn't prove that the measles vaccination prevented them from getting the measles. Now, if a kid gets the measles after he's been vaccinated, which about 90% of measles cases in the United States now are after somebody has measles, they say, well, you needed a booster shot. So you got to get shot up every 10 years, huh? All right, let's try that. The kid's born, so we give him a shot for measles. And we give him a booster shot at age 10, 20, 30, 40, and 50, and he doesn't get the measles. Now, we don't give him a shot, and at age 60, he gets the measles. Now, do we conclude from that, well, see, he didn't get his booster shot, and the reason he got measles is because he didn't have the shot. That doesn't prove anything. Now, let's not give him the measles shot. And the kid gets measles at age 6 or 8, and then he gets over it, and then he goes through life, and he doesn't get the measles for the rest of his life. Well, hell, that's where I'm at. I never did get a measles shot. I got the measles. I have natural immunity against the measles, and I'm not going to get the measles next year or 5 years or 10 years from now. Now, we can choose which program we want to follow. And I'm not here to tell you which program to follow. You can get a measles shot every year, and you probably won't get the measles. Only 2% of people ever get them if they've ever had them before. If they've ever had them before, they don't get them. And if you've had a measles shot, only 2% of people get the measles. But it doesn't prove that the measles shot prevented you from getting the measles because 90% of the people who get the measles have already had the shot. That doesn't mean that the measles shot gave you the measles, but it sure as hell didn't prevent it. And that's what this guy's pointing out. He says, you know, the vaccination is not only useless, but positively injurious. Instead of protecting its subjects from contagion of smallpox, it actually renders them more susceptible to it by depressing the vital power and diminishing natural resistance. So there must be some natural resistance to the smallpox also. But the thing that stopped the smallpox was hygiene, nutrition, and sanitation. You know, people that live dirty get sicker. Yeah, you have more disease over in countries that have poor sanitation, poor nutrition, poor hygiene. So in this country, here's the United States, at the very same time that they started these vaccinations, they were also cleaning up the water supply, cleaning up the sewer supply, or the sewer disposal, and feeding people better at the very same time. So now the incidence of the diseases went down, that is smallpox and typhoid fever and cholera and so on. And at the same time they were vaccinating these people didn't get sick, and they said, see, the vaccine works. Well, it doesn't prove the vaccine works. because in the people that they did give the vaccine to, they found out that these people were coming down with the smallpox, and it proved that the vaccine didn't work. Well, it didn't work in those people. Now, again, let's reiterate. If you've got a strong immune system, your body's healthy, and you're in a room and somebody comes in with the flu, and they're coughing and sneezing and all over, you're not going to get it anyway. You don't need a shot. Your immune system is going to protect you. If, on the other hand, you've had the vaccine, and your immune system is low, then you're going to get the flu because this guy's just spread it to you and your immune system's weak. Or if your immune system's strong and you had the shot, you're not going to get it, and so you get a false report. Some guy comes in, he's got the flu, he's sneezing over everybody, and the guy that gets the flu could be because he didn't have a shot or he did have a shot, it's irrelevant. If he's got a weak immune system, he gets the flu. If the guy has had a flu shot or if he hasn't had a flu shot and his immune system's strong and it's up and working, neither one of them get the flu, and one guy says, well, it's because I had my flu shot, and the other guy says, what about me? I was exposed and I didn't have a flu shot. Well, we just don't know why you didn't get the flu. Again, it's your immune system, kids. Now, that's what the bottom line is, and what we're talking about here, and the next time when we pick this up, we'll go through this summarization of this case against vaccination. There's about 21 points over here, and I'll bring that to you the next time as we're analyzing this thing of the vaccine versus non-vaccine theory of disease. And the germ theory of disease, which we covered in this program, and said, hey, wait a minute, let's start thinking about this, because it's a theory, it's a hypothesis. That doesn't make it true, accurate, and correct. That's what we believe. That's what we've been taught. That's what we're convinced of, but that doesn't necessarily make it true. Just because you believe it doesn't make it true, and just because you disbelieve it doesn't make it false. I'm out of time. Let me give you a final reminder here that you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries every day, daily, over the Internet and radio. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, I'm out of time. That's the signal. Says our time's up. I've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.